All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the Porchcast. I feel like I always sound kind of surprised by the fact that we're on whatever number we're on, but this is our Michael Jordan podcast, number 23. We are joined today by our guests. We're actually sitting here at their brewery, Ryan and Kevin from Bayer Brewing. How's it going, guys?
Everything's great.
Yeah. And you guys are on the cusp of your anniversary party. Tell everyone a little bit more, just a brief intro, and we'll dive into the rest. But what can people expect from your anniversary?
Well, it's July 2nd, so we actually turned 2, not 23. it'll be next Tuesday, but we're having the party on Saturday the 2nd. So if you want to survive, avoid I-70, mayhem, camping mayhem, come on down to 320 Broadway. Wear your jorts. We'll be doing our first bottle release right at noon when we open. We have no idea what to expect from that, whether there'll be a line around the block, like CFWeld works these days.
Yeah.
Or if people just wander and have no idea what's going on. And then we're just going to be tapping a bunch of different stuff we've had sitting around for it. Some sour stuff is over a year old, so we're pretty excited to get that out there. And Sweet Action Ice Cream is making 2 different ice creams they'll be giving away, I believe between 2 and 5, paired with some nice mandolin picking.
All right, fantastic. We'll dive a little bit more into that. But once again, we are lucky to be joined by our co-host, Jesse Brookstein.
Thanks,
Jesse, how's it going?
Really well, buddy.
How was your week?
It was good, man. Busy, yeah. Fun, but yeah. Kind of hanging out with my mom for her birthday week, so that was cool.
All right. Nice. That's fantastic. Well, we have a ton to get into today. Before we do, it's kind of a weird situation. We've got today when we're recording the podcast, Hillary Clinton is actually in town. Hillary Clinton's visiting Denver. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not know that.
She's actually just a few blocks away at Galvanize, which is a shared workspace for tech. She's talking about how technology and education in technology are kind of like the future of the, you know, industry and whatnot and innovation. So it's kind of cool to have Senator Clinton in the house. And also, she couldn't make it to our podcast. I apologize.
Yeah,
she was.
Did she get back to you?
She was going to be an hour or two, but she had to cancel for some unknown reason. I don't know why.
I wonder if she's going to make America great again.
Yeah.
I hope.
Sounds very likely, yeah. If you guys had, okay, you know, I've had the distinction of being able to attend Barack Obama speaking, I think, 4 times now. If you guys had the opportunity to meet with any politician or any celebrity, or at least like attend an event with them, who would you guys have at the top of your list?
Oh, I'll let you guys start off since you're the host. I can say Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah?
Easily. Right. He is. And it's funny because most people think it's like Dancing in the Dark and Born in the USA. I'm like, you know, I won't preach here, but you listen to the lyrics, they are deeper, and they're actually very controversial and far ahead of his time, like, akin to Rage Against the Machine, who's another, and they're going back on tour minus Zach, so I'd actually love to meet up with Zach, because he is such a strong advocate for workers' rights and human rights all these years, and sticks to his guns, so I like those 2 guys.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I'd bring Kurt Vonnegut back.
Yeah?
Spend a day with him.
Yeah.
I think so. And, I don't know, Kid Rock.
Kid Rock? Yeah.
It's not the first time we talked about Kid Rock.
No, the second time of the day you guys missed the first.
You know, it's really weird. One of my buddies actually attends a Kid Rock cruise every single year. Wow. I didn't know this type of thing existed.
It's like 311.
Yeah.
They're like still a thing.
Yeah.
And they do cruises and they still are. I was at Avery years ago and someone was playing 311. I was like, this is a band still? He's like, you loved them.
It just goes to show that there are these little niche like fan groups that nobody knows exist except for their own like little kindred community.
I'm actually going to throw Matt Hughes of Gold Spot Brewing under the bus. He has a 311 tattoo on his thigh.
Oh.
So Matt, dude, you did it, man. So you got to own up to it.
I did see one of our friends last year with the bare naked ladies dancing.
Awesome.
Like a bobblehead or what?
don't know, that little symbol from, or is that Dave Matthews?
Yeah, the Coca-Cola thing.
The dancing. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's cute.
And yeah, that's probably, if you were to show that to any person who, like, you know, was in their prime in the 90s, like, that's very indicative of like, 90s pop culture.
I've got a buddy with a Dave Matthews tattoo as well.
That's
Mike
awesome.
Kitchen, how you doing, buddy?
But yeah, to go all the way, I think initially the first time he did it kind of ironically, been like, all right, I'm gonna go on this cruise for Kid Rock. But he like loves it. He goes every single year. He has the weirdest stories, and it's just a Kid Rock themed cruise. I feel like that's amazing. So Robert Bratley, you're out there. You got a mention in our podcast this week.
How about
Kevin,
you?
What about you? Yeah, any
I don't know, I'd kind of maybe take the opposite approach.
Yeah?
I could definitely sit down with, like, Donald Trump or Ted Nugent and...
oh, nice.
Just to find out what's going on in their heads.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, so I might as well try to read into it a little bit.
Yeah, I like it.
College professors from here till eternity will really dissect this Trump marketing machine. Like, it's the strongest marketing machine I've ever seen. We might have talked about it on the Slack podcast, but it's insane. It's insane. How one person can do this.
I would probably, if I were to meet with someone right now, it'd probably be Paul Simon.
Really?
We went to his concert here in Denver pretty recently. He's one of my favorite artists, and his music has been such a great influence throughout my life. But I also want to ask him what he was thinking about his most recent single, Wristband. It's probably the worst song that's ever been created.
Really?
If you guys have a chance, he really just sings about having a wristband and getting into a show.
Gotcha.
Like, that's the entire premise of this song.
They start to fall off at the end. Springsteen sang a song about a lady at the supermarket. Queen of the supermarket was what it was called. Horrible. So
we really should have our rock legends just kind of
That's why they
quit
should burn
at a
out
certain,
quick.
Yeah. There should be a mandatory retirement age for some musicians.
As much as I like Hillary, I would add Elizabeth Warren to that list.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a t-shirt that says Elizabeth Warren gives me a banner, and then he got kicked out of his own seat. So
yeah.
I love her.
Awesome. Cool. So we've already touched on a lot of randomness, but we're going to keep this train going. A lot of news happening in the beer world. First of all, I think a really weird and bizarre story that happened this week. 78,000 beers were stolen from Sweetwater Brewery. What do you guys take of that?
I don't even know the story.
I don't know anything.
That's a lot of beer.
How do you do that?
Yeah. How does one person go about stealing 78,000 bottles of beer from a brewery? That's insane.
Fast and the Furious, man.
Oh,
they
man.
Steal the gas tanker. I'm thinking something.
Well, like and that. How do you resell that? Or are you just doing it for consumption?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I can rag on them because I'm from the South as well, but you know, that there's not a lot of thought that goes into the after effects of how you unload and something like that.
You have a big truck,
I imagine. That or a helicopter.
Yeah.
Let's continue the Fast and Furious theme and just build in like a tank and like and like a railroad.
Where's Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
How many facts do we have on this? Do they have suspects?
So I think they already caught the perpetrator, and I think it was one of the like factory workers, like one of the loading dock guys who kind of set up this entire thing. But like you all said, he had no idea how to unload all of this this beer once he got a hold of it, and that's how they eventually caught him. But you know, it's funny because I rag on it because I'm from the South, but the same thing actually happened in my home state of Kentucky. The great Pappy Van Winkle heist that took place, I think, 2 years ago.
What was the end result of that?
It was like this elaborate ring that was set up by these guys who all met through a softball team.
Okay.
And some of the workers in the barrel house at Buffalo Trace, which the Buffalo Trace family creates Pappy Van Winkle. But yeah, so they had tried to, they stole a bunch of barrels of Pappy and tried to sell it. Couldn't find any buyers because, you know, like, how do you know it's actually, these are unmarked barrels. You don't actually know that they're Pappy. And so like their plan went awry completely because there's no way to unload the actual stuff. And the worst part is that they end up having to pour out all the bourbon.
Oh, yeah. It was tainted at that point.
Yeah. So from a health perspective, sure. I don't think they were allowed
spirits.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Was that Sweetwater on pallets? It was already like packaged on pallets?
Probably. I think they were like these mixed packs of their beer. So
maybe a fermenter.
Boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just they took the entire fermenter.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just the bottles.
That's
no beer.
That's like Ocean's 11 style. Yeah. Like that's elevating it from. You know, I'm actually a secret massive admirer of the Fast and Furious series.
I've seen them all.
Yeah.
I mean, it also reminds me of Italian Job.
Yeah. Totally. People always ask why, but they're just like, they don't take themselves very seriously,
sure.
which is the best part about it. Like, and I also, if you want me to go even deeper into this, I can draw comparisons to the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
In terms of like comparing each movie and each book to the Fast and
Furious.
Well,
you're running the podcast.
Well, no, we're not gonna get into that today. But let's dive back into Bears anniversary. You guys have had a really successful 2 years. I think that your all's beer is some of the best in the city. You all have kind of really, you know, you started with the Bear Lindervice and have really done a tremendous job with kettle souring and also just some tremendous barrel aging that's come out. Some barrel aged sours and also some really great stuff that you all did for the Brutography project kind of highlighted just what you've done with barrel aged stouts too. You guys are located right in the heart of right kind of before the heart of South Broadway, so kind of bridging the gap between downtown Denver and South Broadway. Really awesome location, and you know, I really urge people to come out this weekend. But tell us a little bit more about, you know, your all's journey and what it's been like to reach this point so far.
Well, I guess we started this whole thing 4 years ago, probably. And, you know, through the years, basically, it took us 2 years to get open.
Yeah.
Opened in July of 13. And our focus at the beginning was just to have a community tap room, neighborhood tap room,
sure.
Make good beer. And we both love wild and sour stuff. So
nice.
From the beginning, we've been playing around with barrels. We're actually probably about to dump out the first two barrels we filled.
Oh, really?
But besides that, everything's been pretty good.
That's so commendable, though, man. That's really commendable.
Thanks.
People should put more beer down the drain. They don't feel worthy of the consumer's palate,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and our kettle sours, a fair number of them have seen the drain.
Yeah.
Yep, totally. Us too.
Now, tell us a little bit more about your brewing background before this. Were you all just avid homebrewers, or...?
Yeah, we both started out as homebrewers.
Yeah.
Really just brewing quite a bit, and then started talking about this idea and then brewing a lot more and brewing together, thinking about what we wanted to do. Early on, I'm not sure we were necessarily trying to build recipes for the brewery, but to brew lots of different things to understand them and kind of gauge what we want. You know, that's where Berliner Weiss originally started, Big Hoppy Brown started. Some of our IPAs kind of morphed from that. So Ryan can probably talk a little more about his experience, but it's mostly homebrewing, all homebrewing.
Yeah, that's really it. And you know, it's one of those really great ideas you have, and then you start, you get the money, and you're like, oh boy, what are we doing? We're just homebrewers. So sometimes it feels like...
I guess, how do you take that leap? You know, I think a lot of homebrewers I talk to have the same dream of opening their own brewery. What really goes into taking that leap from going from amateur homebrewing in your garage to saying like, all right, let's do this. Let's get this going. And also in a similar vein, you know, I feel like getting into large format wilds and sours is kind of a big undertaking as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's your best advice for homebrewers who are jumping into it?
Dump stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't listen to your friends who are just telling you it's awesome because you're giving it to them for free.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being like, you know, your friend would take these kegs to a party and they're like, oh man, that's so good. And you're like, yeah, but would you pay $5 for another one? Oh yeah. And you're like, I don't even know whether I can believe you.
Sure. I think it's like also so many people say that now, but think of Ken Grossman and like Adam and Sam and like all these forefathers of the craft beer movement that rarely get mentioned anymore because there's all these cool kids on the, you know, on the street. Mm-hmm. But all these guys were homebrewers. Like, no one should ever say, like, oh, that guy's a homebrewer. He just opened a brewery. We're all homebrewers at heart. You know
That's
what
true.
I mean? So
yeah.
Whatever experience you may have, be it in the industry itself, front of the house, back of the house, or a homebrewer, like, and you're an entrepreneur, there's no reason to not just give that a ton of support.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Now, we just opened up, we just cracked a bottle. Tell us a little bit more about what we're drinking.
This is our Saison, and, you know, one of, I don't know, maybe you should talk about it. It's kind of one of Kevin's ideas of having the bottle stuff different from the tap stuff.
Yeah, we, you know, because everything we're doing is large form, well, I don't know if they're all large format, but single bottle stands.
Sure.
Our thought was to keep those bottles different from what's on tap. You can still fill a growler. So this is our Saison, but it is bottle conditioned with a Brett Brooks strain.
Nice.
And so this will be released probably a month out, is our guess. This is batch one. We just bottled batch two. So it's conditioning now, but really it's to get that dryness, a little bit more spiciness, and a little bit of funk coming through, but it's not intense. So
I feel like it's all very well balanced throughout the entire, you know, consumption of it. It's, you know,
I love the phenols.
Yeah.
It's great. The spiciness. Awesome.
That spiciness is great. Like you said, it finishes very dry and crisp, and you get that bright kind of Brett flavor without it being too, you know, dominating of the entire drink. So
yeah, it's not brie cheese. This is great.
And we anticipate, I mean, part of it too is that we expect them to age a little better with Brett.
Sure.
Bottle
Absolutely.
Conditioned with Brett than we would otherwise. So that's
right.
Part of the effort.
Look at that. Nice. Look at that head retention in the bottle right now. Just building.
Yeah,
three quarters up.
It's great.
Don't open one of these warm.
Yeah.
There won't be any beer left in the bottle.
Hey. So this, you said this one we can expect about a month out from now?
I think so.
We're all, yeah.
In anticipation, at least.
Labels are in the works right now, so.
Sure.
And we're just new to that. We're trying to figure out what to expect with carbonation levels in the bottles. So, you know, this
sure.
one's pretty highly carbonated.
Cool.
Experimentation is happening.
And what kind of numbers on these bottle releases? How many bottles per?
They're all small.
Yeah.
And this weekend for Friend Brewing will be 25 cases of 375s.
Well,
that we have 40.
Yeah, like yesterday we spent all, three of us spent all day bottling Saison and we filled 52 cases, so.
Wow.
It's all by hand, homebrew style, gravity.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. Now, you kind of alluded to, we've got two bottles here in front of us that are going to be available for the anniversary party, correct?
One of them for sure. The other one depends on if the labels will be here on Friday.
Gotcha.
But so yeah, one of them is our Blackberry Table Sour, which is one of our kettle sour beers with aged on blackberries. And then the other one is Barrel Aged Sour Brown that we use a lot of our barrels for. And this one has raspberries in it. So we also have bottled this on tart cherries. We've bottled it on cranberries. We're just waiting on labels for all that stuff and seeing how it carbonates.
Now, something about the Fram Bruin that I really want to touch on, because I have a personal connection to it, is the artwork. I absolutely, if you guys haven't, I'll be sure to post it on our the actual blog post where we share this podcast. But the artwork is done by a local artist, John Vogel. He's a good friend of mine. You guys have had a great relationship with John. He's done a few gallery openings here. He's done some of your all's artwork before. Can you tell us a little bit about that relationship and also, you know, the concept that goes into this label design?
Well, this guy Andrew Hoffman, who's friends with John, did our logo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, I believe, is the one who introduced us.
Still.
All right, so he happens to know John. But then one of our good friends is also, like, best friends with John. And I don't really remember how the whole thing started. I think
we just saw it. Oh no, he came in and sold posters and T-shirts for like a holiday fair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like around Christmas, and we asked him. And then Andrew was gonna be hanging art or curating this space for art.
Sure.
they got together, so then John put, they put his work up in here, so we've had, it's never come down, basically.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit.
We basically said you can use this as your own private gallery, and because it's great, it goes well with our space.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the cool things about what John does is utilizes a lot of the negative space and kind of like creates a different experience from it. You know, he's done, it's really cool because it's this entirely different community as well. You know, we talk about, we were joking about the random concerts and random artists that kind of exist, but the entire community of people who do, you know, poster art for concerts and even for movies, it has a huge following, as like an inner community as well. I recently attended South by Southwest, and they have this event that takes place there every year called Flatstock, where they actually have probably about 50 to 100 different artists who showcase all just, you know, examples of concert art and artist art and poster art for these festivals and concerts, and it's really, really cool. And you can see some of John's work here at Bayer. Great examples of that all around the breweries.
And I'm really glad you touched on it, honestly, because we were talking about it before this podcast started, and I went to school for graphic design, and thought when I was younger that I was going to be a comic book illustrator.
Oh, neat.
And had a huge collection of comics, and I actually was first turned on to his artwork by one of the Flea emails that I got. And I'm very OCD, as some people might know, and I have very few bookmarks on my browser, and one of the few is his art studio. And when I saw the artwork on this label, I was just like, I was actually jealous, because these guys were already working with him, and I really wanted to reach out to him.
Absolutely.
His artwork is absolutely incredible, and really, it's one of those things that I just love about Denver, the creativity. There's so many intelligent, smart, artistic people here. It's great.
Totally. And I think it's a little early to really dive into the full details, but just as a little teaser for all of our 5 podcast listeners out there. We hopefully will have more, but we are working on an event that kind of revolves around the idea of branding within the beer industry, and we really want people to be looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll have full details out soon, but we're working on an event for the week of the Great American Beer Festival.
That's awesome. I mean, even look at Sam Turner got it true.
Yeah.
Like how he's like
absolutely
so iconic and what he's done for their branding.
Totally.
Amazing.
Yeah. Let's kind of take a turn in the other direction. But before we do, I want to be sure to plug First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, who's one of our sponsors for the podcast. First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 26th and Larimer here in downtown Denver in the Rhino District. It's a 40 tap system. They've got 40 beers on. And they also, it's a pour your own draft system. So you can go in. It feels like an adult froyo shop. Go in and pour as much or as little as you want from these taps and try a little of everything. I was in there this weekend. They had Dorothy from Hill Farmstead. They always kind of just pull out random awesome stuff. The barrel-aged Avarice from River North was also just hanging out there this weekend. So be sure to hop in there and try some really tremendous beers. A lot of it's going to be Colorado local, so that's a great nod to the local community out here. But they also have all sorts of beer from all across the country.
Yeah, great selection.
Yeah, really great. First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, 26th and Larimer. Big thanks for them being sponsored this show. All right, so this weekend is also July 4th weekend, which is actually probably one of my favorite holidays. July 4th is actually my favorite holiday.
Well, it's America Day.
It's America Day,
I mean,
exactly.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. So. And my tradition of celebrating America Day, you know, harkens back to even when I was a child, and you know, the fireworks and whatnot. But it really got intensified in college, where a group of my friends got together and we celebrated. We created an actual agenda item for the entire weekend.
Is this where your agenda started? Like your best summer ever and best winter ever?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the early droppings of this you know, style of creating awesome experiences. But I want to just run through it real quick.
Sure.
You know, for America Day, a few things that must happen. Number one, grilling out, barbecuing, you know.
No pants.
No pants.
Okay.
Cool. I like that. Yeah.
Make sure that was,
yeah.
Unless you're never nude and you just walk around with shorts.
Sounds up. Yeah.
Usually jorts. We usually go the route of jorts.
Okay.
or nothing.
Wiffle ball, because, you know, we have to recreate scenes from Sandlot.
Yeah.
That's a must. We have a power hour with all American theme music.
Okay.
Kid Rock is absolutely in there, yeah. And this podcast is actually sponsored by Kid Rock. And
up and down your block.
The Kid Rock Cruise. I don't actually know the name of the cruise.
And Coors Ridge.
And Coors Ridge. The banquet beer. We also watch Independence Day, the original version with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum.
Sure.
Amazing movie.
Yeah. Probably one of the top 10 movies ever created in all of history. Right?
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Right up there with Fast and Furious.
I mean,
and Mighty Ducks too.
I'm blown away by how many folks are really big fans of Fast and Furious. I have a friend, Whitney, in Boulder. She's like, I am addicted. I've seen them all multiple times.
It's fantastic.
I'd actually like our guest host here, who's not really chiming in, our head brewer at Call to Arms,
yeah.
John Cross.
John Cross.
He actually just rewatched Independence Day, the original, correct?
Yeah, it's the best movie ever.
That's right.
You're going to go on record as
I have a second source in this.
Yep, that's on record.
And you did it because you wanted to lead up to
the new one came out on Sunday, and so I had to get caught up on the backstory.
Okay.
You know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also, in watching this, we had a drinking game, and some of the things that were included, I don't know if you remember the story very well, but there, you know, anytime anything patriotic is shown, you drink, of course. And then...
Where is that line drawn, Tristan?
You know,
I think it's the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's the entire movie.
Yeah, totally. But like, I'm saying, like, you know, national monuments,
okay.
American flag,
got
the
it.
White House, you know, got anything it. Like that. You drink. You also drink anytime the dog is the golden retriever is shown, and you drink throughout his leap. There's like this leap, this flaming leap, where there's this explosion that's taking place. They're in a tunnel, and then the dog jumps into the safety like. Exit or whatever.
Okay.
And you drink throughout that entire like slow-mo dog jumping scene.
Are you pretty cocked come the end of the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you also drink anytime Jeff Goldblum's dad says anything like super Jewish. Like.
So why don't you drink?
Basically, anytime the aliens are on screen, you don't drink. And then, yeah. And you also drink throughout Bill Pullman's presidential speech. Yeah, yeah.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not go down without a fight.
That's right, yeah.
We will survive. We will live on. Today we celebrate Independence Day.
All right, there we go.
I can't forget it.
It's such a ubiquitous moment in cinematic history. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on, yeah. So,
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Did you see that down Broadway, Budweiser painted the mural on the side of that like Firestone building where... Well, Verschkuka used to be like a little
that
area, and it just says America. Like they're really like doing some guerrilla marketing down here.
I think we should all make a beer called America.
Yeah, because America.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And America is the land of the free, and there's no trademarks, right?
That's right.
That's the American dream of just being able to do what you want.
So that said, on Independence Day, are you going? Have you? Is it out? I'm sorry if I'm not up to speed on the new Independence Day.
The movie's
Day.
Out.
Okay.
It's not a remake. It's a sequel.
It's a sequel, yeah.
Where's Will Smith?
Will Smith is not in this movie, which is the most un-American thing
it's
possible.
It's like Fast and the Furious 3, man, when like no one's in it.
Yeah. So, okay. It's great that you bring this up. I think in Fast and Furious 2 and in 3, there's very little crossover. I think Vin Diesel appears in the last scene of Fast and Furious 3, which is Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
Too Fast and Furious is probably the worst in the series, and that's where I draw the comparison with Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, I believe.
Okay.
That was definitely the worst.
Okay.
And that's that crossover, but... 3 is actually takes place before 4 actually takes place, which is kind of a Star Wars like timeline war situation, which is really, really kind of like brilliance in the mind of the director, Justin Lee. Yeah. So it's just like this, you think it's just like this shallow kind of like muscle cars, like scantily clad women.
Right.
But there's more to it.
Right.
And totally. So, and it's at four where this really kind of transcends the elements. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I brought it up again.
Yeah, I think it really goes in tandem with the Vonnegut thing. Like, yeah. I think they're parallel.
Yeah.
One another.
Do you all have any July 4th traditions that you really celebrate aside from the norm?
Drinking?
As of last
year.
Well,
as of now, yeah.
This is what we celebrate.
Yeah.
My parents' anniversary is the same weekend, so
yeah.
We always celebrate that.
That's awesome.
We've taken that over, I guess.
Stopped going to Wyoming to get fireworks when I was like 20, so I don't know.
I've never actually done that. Can you get like some pretty hardcore fireworks out in Wyoming?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, not like M80s, but
yeah,
probably can now. I don't know. Yeah, it was always a traditional migration.
Yeah.
Growing up in Colorado.
Have you guys ever thought of, I know that you all have kind of the jorts theme for the weekend, for the anniversary. Have you thought about like going like full-blown America and saying like, all right, we're going to do a hot dog eating contest. We're going to have, you know, like fireworks from the roof. We're going to do, you know, like just go 100% all in.
But maybe we will.
One thing I really want, and someday I might buy it behind Kevin's back, is, and my wife knows that I'm obsessed with those like floppy wind guys.
Oh, yeah.
That are like
at furniture stores.
Yeah.
Like these guys that are just like flopping their arms around.
Yeah.
Wacky waving arm.
They're only good when they're,
men.
Yeah.
They're super dirty, worn out.
Yeah.
That's when they're really great.
Like the kind that they keep up during the winter and there's all the salt still just like
sure.
Kind of charred
like
on one side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a little strip of Ohio highway. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. That's
I feel like that's America.
Yeah.
The floppy wind guy.
That's true. That is like quintessential like middle America type.
Love it.
Yeah.
Every
well, I think you guys should totally go spring for that. I mean,
right. I haven't brought it up to Kevin yet.
It looked perfect right across the street from the wig store.
Do we want to touch on this beer we're drinking really
absolutely.
Quickly? It's absolutely
yeah.
fantastic. I'd love to ask you guys about it. The color is gorgeous on it.
Yeah.
It's got this like gorgeous like raspberry deep red hue to it, like a ruby esque. Is this blackberries?
Yeah, this is our blackberry table sour. So the base for these beers is essentially Berliner Weiss, and then, you know, we kettle sour it, then we do a mixed fermentation with the bacteria and yeast. Then we age this for generally 2 weeks on raspberries or raspberry puree. And then this is just sack conditioned, but it is bottle conditioned.
Sure.
So it's fruity. It's slightly less fruity.
But it's not over the top though.
Yeah.
Like the balance is just gorgeous. It really allows like the other the esters to shine through. It's really.
It actually tastes. We opened one yesterday because if we release it this weekend, wanted to make sure it was carb right. I had just drank 2 cups of coffee. It tastes much more fruit forward today than it did yesterday. So don't drink coffee right before you drink this beer.
Yeah, this is great.
It's amazing, too, how much, like, because I'll go back, and I'm also drinking one of their pale ales, and I'll go back and try it after having drank one of these wilds and sours, and it just changes the flavor profile so much. And even at Avery, every morning, like at 8:30-ish, we'd always have to try the packaged beer to make sure it was consistent. And everyone would drink coffee, and so we had, like, saltines in there, or saltless saltines, you know, teens. And it's like, I just love the way that like flavors can change due to what was previously on your tongue.
That's why it's always scary when someone ordered. They're like, "I want a flight of all 15 of your beers." And you're like, "Oh man,
what are you going for? A suicide there?"
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm pretty sure they're all going to screw each other up.
Yeah.
How often does that actually happen? Do you guys? What is the weirdest thing that you guys have heard recently in your tap room?
I think the weirdest thing is people. We offer syrups with our Berliner Weiss.
Yep.
So we make our house, you know, syrups in-house. And someone will try it, and they'll love it. And then they'll start asking for syrup in other beers.
Oh, really?
It's and like, no, sorry. Like, trust me, it's not going to be good. Like, if you don't have the sour to balance it out, it's just going to taste gross. But usually they don't believe you, so you have to give them a little sip, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're right.
It's like a menu,
oh,
right?
Surprise, you know what you're talking about.
These chefs put together these extensive menus with the exact items that, you know, that they want to use in these, and people always want to change them out, and I get it. Everyone wants to have like things to meet their needs, but sometimes maybe just trust the people who made it.
It's like, you know what? I would really like to try some ketchup in this cheesecake. I think that would be delicious.
That sounds absolutely disgusting. And very American.
What? I feel like the next like most ridiculous thing would be if someone like were to just bring in chocolate syrup to pour into like your hoppy brown and be like, oh, you guys are all about those syrups, right? Let's do this. I feel like this would be a good combination. Absolutely not. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that.
Looks like Matt, a guy works in our cellar now, who you might hear cleaning kegs. Sorry for the clanging around, but he talked about how people will buy Bourbon County, like carefully pop the lid and throw a vanilla bean in there and close it, and like try to do their own Bourbon County stuff. Sounds like it could get pretty overpowering in 12 ounces of beer. But.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's a whole other story for all the day. Oxidation, people. Yeah. Oxidation.
Yeah.
But then they'll blame the brewery.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you guys take of recently, there was a list that came out of, I believe it was the AHA's kind of list of the top beers. I guess, what do you all take of like beer rankings? As brewery owners, how do you feel about beer rankings and brewery rankings and all of that sense?
I'll let you guys start.
throwing us under the bus on that.
I don't want to throw you under the bus.
I think there's some reality in it. You know, like I look at the list and there's a lot of really awesome beers. I don't ever really rank beers because it's all about my mood. Or you know, even when a customer comes in and says, "Hey, what's your favorite?" Like, I don't know what I eat today. What mood am I in?
Sure.
What kind of alcohol content am I looking for? So I never have like a favorite or a list. So actual rankings kind of bother me. But like as a whole, that list is really good. Those are all great beers. I would never argue with, as far as I can remember, any of them. A lot of people are way better at marketing than other people. So there's...
Yep.
A lot of marketing.
Yeah.
A lot of it's a hype machine, yeah, for sure.
A lot of it's availability.
But they're good beers and they're hyped quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at like our Untappd way more than I should. But, you know, people will be like, I don't think they've said it on ours, but they'll rate a stout like half a star, be like, I don't really like stouts.
Sure.
So I think people want to rate everything. But to me, I try to remember, oh, well, they just don't like that style.
Or, yeah.
That style hits middle of the road for them.
It's got to be tough because, you know, we have a staunch policy against rating and ranking beers on Porch Drinking, and it's for the exact same reasons that you all described. But I feel like, you know, as brewery owners, it's hard to just totally ignore the rankings and ignore the Yelp reviews. Like, where do you find that balance between the two?
I know for us, we definitely don't ignore either of those, but we focus much more on the Yelp reviews. Not even that we focus on those that much, but if a customer has a poor experience, we'd love to know why, and we really want to fix that if possible. Our staff, you know, we focus on, we're all taproom based, you know, we do very little bottling. And so if someone has a bad experience, that's very representative of Cold Arms. That said, if someone doesn't like a stout and they rank it a one and they say, I don't like a stout, they give it a one star or whatever, they don't like a stout, well, what can you do about that? You know, John, who chimed in about Independence Day, works really hard to make the best beers we possibly can. And if that doesn't meet someone's palate, so be it. You know, like, there's a lot of restaurants out there that I'll like one item, but I won't like the other, but I know what I prefer and I go back to it if I like it. You know, it's not about what's best. It's not like, these are the 10 best in town. It's just, what do you prefer that day, that weather, that time? Are you with a friend of yours? Are you with your special lady friend? You know, it's just about living in the now and experiencing the pleasure of drinking it, not judging people and sitting back and not only attacking the beer, but attacking the brewer and the breweries itself. It's just, it gets very hurtful sometimes to see people attacking friends of ours or ourselves in the industry, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
I'd say we take personal.
Yeah, we take Yelp more seriously than the rest of them, because, especially when it's talking about, you know, if someone's giving us a bad review on Yelp because they didn't like this one beer that they had, that's one thing. That's not representative of, like, the experience that we're trying to provide them
right.
overall, where if they come in and, I mean, it's never really happened, but say that they got terrible service or the bartender ignored them for 10 minutes, like, generally people aren't going to lie about that.
Right.
And so that's something where that's important, you know, you should get acknowledged as soon as you walk in the door if possible.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, should we crack this last beer and give it a little taste before, this is the Fram Brewing, right?
Yep.
And this is going to be coming out this weekend for Bayer's second anniversary party. Definitely encourage everyone to come out and join in the festivities. As Ryan mentioned earlier, there's going to be some special releases, stuff that they've been holding on to for a while. They're also going to definitely be doing the release of Fram Brewing, but also potentially the Blackberry Table Sour. And then also they'll have some beer ice cream created with Sweet Action, and lots of jorts, lots of pickin' and grinning music, as people from my hometown would often describe. So plenty of festivities. If you're in town for July 4th, we urge you to stop by Bayer and celebrate their anniversary with them.
So. And me being not from your hometown, pickin' and grinning?
Pickin' and grinning, yes.
Okay.
From Kentucky.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that has to do with pickin' music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. Not your nose. Yeah. That's all how right. we describe the, you know, the bluegrass style and mandolin playing.
Awesome.
And yeah. So we've got the Fram Brewing here. Beautiful, kind of like
goodness. Smells gorgeous.
Yeah, so this was the first sour beer we started making in barrels. Yeah. If you've been in, you know, we have this wall of Blah's barrels, whiskey barrels. And so we just hadn't really heard of many people trying to make sour beers in whiskey barrels, but we'd used them for Big Hoppy Brown, and they're pretty neutral. And so we were like, well, they still hold beer. They're made of wood. Let's try to put our sour beers in them and see how they turn out.
This is amazing.
It's great.
Yeah, thanks.
I think it takes on such great kind of caramel, vanilla notes from the barrels, and mm-hmm. finishes, you know, with that really nice kind of balanced tartness to it.
Yep. It's very rounded out. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Cool. Well, thanks you guys so much for joining us on the show. Anything else that you guys like to plug in there before we sign off?
Well,
drive safe. The heat is on. That's another 4th of July.
Okay, I like that. Is that like a radio segment that they do?
I think it's like, cops are out.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Okay.
Don't be a dummy.
Don't be a dummy.
Use your seatbelt. Clearly we're running out of material. Be sure to check out First Draft Taproom and Kitchen at 26th and Larimer. Big thanks to our sponsors. Also big thanks to Kevin Greer and Ryan Skeels for joining, or as we like to call him, Skeely Dan, as Corey posts.
Oh, I saw that email. Really like that.
Skeely Dan. And also big thanks to Jesse Brookstein and John Cross for co-hosting and joining us on the show today. I'm Tristan. This has been the Porchcast. It's actually episode 22. I'm sorry, guys. Not actually the Michael
Clyde Drexler.
Yeah. There you go. The
how
Clyde.
Did you know that?
Wow.
Love. I have an autographed jersey. Clyde the Glide.
Wow.
That changes everything.
That this adds a new dynamic to our Porchcast. All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone. As Ryan mentioned, be safe this July 4th weekend, and be sure to come out and check out Bayer for their second anniversary. We'll catch you next episode for episode 23, the real Michael Jordan episode.
Check you later.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.